Luke chapter 20. I want to share it tonight on being filled with the Holy Spirit and Spirit-filled life, specifically the term baptized with the Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, unfortunately, this has come to be a controversial subject and issue with many people, and it doesn't have to be. It shouldn't be. It's not controversial with me. I've got no axe to grind with anyone or I'm going to argue or debate over the good things of God, but we've heard so many different things from people that we respect and we look up to. I'm telling you, there is mass confusion across the body of Christ concerning the issue of the Holy Spirit, and specifically being baptized with the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to take time to look at what God says about this subject, not what mama said, not what a preacher said, not what a group says, or anything of that nature. God's Word is final authority in our lives, and if we want to know the truth about something, we have to go back to God's Word in order to understand and discover truth. That's all I want, is the truth. I really don't want to know what so-and-so thinks or so-and-so says, and I'm not being rude in that. I'm being biblically based. I'm being functional in God's family when I refuse to listen to what somebody else said and not check it out with what God said. And when you start talking to people about this subject and other subjects of the Bible, they say things that amaze me, and I wonder, by what authority did you come to that conclusion? By what authority did you get that interpretation? We need to know what authority we're looking to and based in whatever we believe. There's good people told us bad stuff. There's good people that have told us wrong stuff. We need to see what God says and what the authorities of the Word of God have to say about any subject, especially this subject. Because there's all kinds of tradition. There's all kinds of opinions. And they don't produce faith in your life. But God's Word does. Amen? All right, Luke chapter 20, this is interesting, verse 1. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priest and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority dost thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? Jesus? We hear this preaching, we see you doing stuff, but by whose authority do you say these things, and by whose authority do you do the things that you're doing? Verse 3 says, and he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Did John's authority to baptize, did it come from heaven? Or did it come from men? See, there are authorities that be that come from man. And they carry a certain amount of weight, but not ultimate weight. Jesus knew they were questioning his authority, and from where did his authority come from? So he put it back in their lap and said, by the way, John's baptism, by whose authority, in so many words, did he baptize? Did his word to baptize, did the authority he operate in to baptize people in water, preparing them for the kingdom to come, did that come from heaven or God? Or did it come from the earth or man? And they knew if they say man, the mob will turn on them and eat them alive, because they believed John was from heaven and from God, and that he did what he did by the authority of God. But if they say heaven, then he's going to rest his case and say, that's the same authority I'm doing what I'm doing by. So that he caught him, in other words, by asking him another question. You know, over the years, I've asked that question. By whose authority? Where did you get the authority to say that certain things died and passed away with the last apostle? Where'd that authority come from? I don't want to name names. I don't want to name groups. That's not my motive. That's not my heart to condemn or to cast a negative light on any group or anybody. But you can go to one denomination and they'll flat tell you in Mark chapter 16, for instance, where Jesus said that you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, you'll speak with new tongues, you'll cast out devils, all those kind of things. They literally say that's not in the oldest manuscripts. And I've asked them, by what authority Do you have to say that and discredit the Bible, the Word of God? Then there's another denomination, I could name it, I won't, but it's of a Spirit-filled nature. It only believes in Jesus only, and you can show them over in 1 John where the Bible says that there are three that bear record in the earth, the Father and the Word, which is the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And they'll say that's not in the oldest manuscripts. By what authority do people have to shred our Bible apart like that? And a good friend of mine asked someone one time in witness, and I'll never forget this. This was awesome, and it was wisdom. And they said, that's not in the oldest manuscript. We were taught at our church, that's not in the oldest manuscripts. And my friend says, listen, do you have a copy of that oldest manuscript so I could look at it? Oh, no, I've never seen a copy of that oldest manuscript. Well, at your church, do they have a copy of the oldest manuscript where I could look at this and see if it is or isn't in some oldest? Oh, no, we don't have any copy of the oldest manuscript. In other words, man said that. Does man have authority to a measure, to a degree? But does man have the authority to say what is God's word and not God's word? What is for today and not for today? I don't think so. I'm not going to man as an authority. I'm not going to groups as an authority. I'm going to go to Luke as an authority, and I'm going to go to John the Baptist as an authority, and I'm going to go to Peter and John. I think they're an authority in the kingdom of heaven. I think Jesus is an authority. Are we still saved enough to believe that? Amen. That's in the oldest manuscripts. There's a point where anybody can say anything to produce doubt and unbelief, and you need to quit listening to all that kind of stuff and go to your Bible and see what's in here and search it out for yourself. And come to some conclusions on your own. Amen? Well, John, according to Jesus, was an authority. So I want to look at something that John said. Go to John chapter 1, the book of John. And Jesus honored John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was an authority sent from God. And he said something about the baptism that carries weight. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, look at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now I bet you every group, and us included, we can all agree and come to the same consensus that Jesus came, according to John, who was an authority to take the sins of the world away. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Do we believe that? Amen. I believe that. You believe that. Everybody I've ever witnessed to believes that. Well, why do we believe that? Because John was an authority. John was from heaven. John knew the purpose of Jesus. And John said one of the purposes of Jesus coming was to take away the sins of the world. Verse 30 says, This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So John, who was an authority come from heaven, said Jesus came to do primarily two things. Take away the sins of the world and baptize with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now that's an authority in my life. Now you may want to discredit God's authorities that came from heaven and believe man-made authorities on the earth. But I'm not going there. I'm going with John is an authority. And John said, Behold, take a long hard look. This is he that came, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I don't care how many excuses or traditions or reasons people come up with to doubt who Jesus was and what he did. I believe John. John said he was the Lamb of God, took away the sins of the world. That's an authority. I mix faith with that, and I believe it with all my heart. And that same John who was from heaven, who is an authority in the earth, said that that same one who took away the sins of the world, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So I want to know what John was talking about, because John was an authority. Go backwards again now, back to Luke chapter 24. And let's look at what Jesus said. He was an authority to the church. In Luke chapter 24, look at verse 44. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Hear me, dear ones. This could take a whole hour. I won't take an hour. So listen good. Jesus had to open their eyes, the eyes of their understanding, for them to know what the scriptures were saying. Do not be mistaken. Just because you read your Bible every day doesn't necessarily mean you know what it's saying. We have to have our eyes opened by the Spirit. We can't be wearing no crown of pride and see truth and get spiritual wisdom. We better have a humble heart. It takes the Holy Spirit to illuminate us to what this is talking about. So we better quit quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit and being afraid of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that opens the eyes of our understanding. Jesus said that their eyes had to be opened. Verse 46 says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, mark it. And behold, I send the promise of the Father. I want you to underline that now. The promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Whatever the promise of the Father is, Jesus said, I'm going to send it upon you. And when that happens, it'll happen in Jerusalem. I want you to go there and wait for it. And when it comes, when it happens, you will be endued with power from on high. Now, what is this promise of the Father? Because Jesus is an authority. Go to Acts chapter 1. He said the promise of the Father, not a promise, but the promise of the Father. The promise is going to come to you in Jerusalem. And when the promise comes of my Father upon you, you will be endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Don't you wish you'd have been there that 40 days? Amen. He's raised from the dead and he spends 40 days in his resurrected body talking to his ministry team about things concerning the kingdom of God. Man, that must have been awesome. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Here it is again. For the promise of the Father, for the promise, not a promise, for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Did you see that? Yeah. The promise of the Father in context is Jesus baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And once Jesus baptizes us, believers, with the Holy Spirit, we will be endued with power to be a witness. Yes. Amen. We have to have power to be the witness God's called us to be. Because you're not being a witness just talking about Jesus. You're being a witness when you're manifesting, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the power of the kingdom of God. Yes. We're supposed to be witnesses, not just witness. That's right. Anybody can knock on a door and witness something and be a witness. But not anybody can have power from on high in manifestation in their, get this in your psyche, their everyday lives. Not just at church having a circus. This power isn't something just comes on you on Sunday morning, whatever it is, and manifested just in a church service. This is the power of God to live this life. To be a witness of this man is alive. And we're not just about doctrine and we're not just about theory or theology. We're about new life empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Acts chapter 2, and let's see what happened when the promise came, and they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Spirit, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So see in context here, letting the Bible interpret the Bible, letting it complete itself and enhance itself, this baptism with the Spirit is the promise of the Father that came on the day of Pentecost that is used interchangeably with being filled with the Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit and baptized with the Spirit and the promise of the Father all mean the same thing in the Bible. And I'm not belaboring this to be dogmatic or picky. I just think it's very important, and I've believed this since the beginning of my ministry, that I need to use Bible terminology as often as possible, because that's the common language of the church universal. Okay, I'm not quite connecting yet. If you were brought up in church and a part of a particular group, they had terminology. It was like a secret club that they all knew what they were talking about, but even other groups didn't know what they were talking about because it was coded language for that group that only that group used. I don't want to do that. I want to preach to the world. Is that okay? Amen. I want to preach to believers around the world, so if I stick with Bible terminology, I can connect with every denomination. I can connect with every believer in the jungle. I can connect with every believer underground, getting the good word of God through internet now. And so I'm not being picky there, and I want to encourage you. We need to use Bible common terminology so we all know what we're talking about. That's why I'm belaboring the terminology. The promise of the Father is the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is used synonymously with being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, this isn't charismatic terminology exclusive for charismatics. It's called Bible. That's important, because charismatics get their own lingo too. And unless you're charismatic in the inner circle, you don't know what these people are talking about. So you need to know, I'm talking about Bible. I'm not talking about a terminology that's my opinion or I came up with. I'm sticking with the terminology, and I'm going to keep sticking with it because it's important so we can connect and not only get blessed, we can go bless other people who are hungry to be filled. Let me just cut to the chase and help you with something. We don't have to force salvation on anybody. We don't have to force healing on anybody. We don't have to force the baptism with the Holy Spirit on anybody. We should be so filled and operating in these things that people want what we got. And what I have is not a fight. It's not an argument. And it's not a debate. What I have is real in my life. It's a part of my everyday life. And if you hang around me too long, you're going to want to know something about healing, because I'm praying for multitudes and getting them healed. There's a lady that could testify here tonight, if she was comfortable with that, that would just bless you so much, how God just supernaturally healed her last Wednesday I prayed for her? There wasn't very many people here. So is she here now? Lady I prayed for last week, healed supernaturally. Bottom line is, see, people can argue about doctrine all they want. Let me lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Amen. And you go fight about healing. I'm going to keep praying for the sick. Amen. I'm going to operate in the gifts. You can believe the authorities of men all you want, but I'm going to see the power of God. And I operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit nearly every day of my life. Some gift, just in my everyday life, words of wisdom. I was counseling a lady, and she was withholding information from me just recently, and I saw her hair turn white instantly, and like she had seen a ghost, when I stopped her and said, thanks for keeping the name of that particular party from me, but I believe the Lord just told me who it was. Is it? And I gave the initials because I didn't want to even say that I can miss God. Anybody else can miss God? Anybody in here have ever missed God? I can miss God. That happened in 1922 one time. And so I know I'm not infallible. And it was the Holy Spirit gave me the name supernaturally. And I looked at her and said, oh, by the way, this guy's name is blank, blank. And what it did, though, and this is the way the gifts are supposed to work. We might get into some of this. It built faith on the inside of her that God knows what's going on and that I'm hearing God. So the next thing I have to say to you, you better pay attention. That's what it's for. It's to create faith. It's to bring credibility that, listen, God hears your prayers. God knows what's going on in your life. It's good when I don't know nothing and I go, oh, by the way, the person you're sleeping with now is your fifth shack up. Okay, y'all didn't like that one. I didn't. Don't jump up now. Mad. The gifts are supposed to be natural. They're not supposed to be spooky. We're not supposed to fall off into Elizabethan English. We're not supposed to get weird or strange. We're supposed to be living in the supernatural power of God. That if God wants me to know something, He'll tell me. So watch. Some of you are wanting a counseling session with me. You better watch out. You might get some real help. And most people I found don't want real help. Well, praise the Lord. I'm cutting that counseling session back where I can go deer hunting now. Hallelujah. Because that's the only place the gifts aren't working for me this year. I need a word of wisdom. Where am I supposed to be? At what time? Everybody still okay? All right, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now, we'll deal with the tongues issue down the road. That's not what this is about tonight. We're talking about, is it biblical and by what authority do I say Jesus still baptized with the Holy Ghost? Amen. All right. Now, look at verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. Peter has just began to share with these people who were a little perplexed about spiritual activity, a little perplexed about the Holy Ghost moving in a way that they're not familiar with, or in some cases after the flesh comfortable with. Let me help you with that. Sometimes if you're not familiar with something spiritual, you can feel a little uncomfortable around it. That doesn't mean it isn't God. It means you haven't been around it. First time you ever got in an elevator, you were uncomfortable. You weren't sure. That doesn't mean elevators are of the devil and we shouldn't have them. You got your act together by now, haven't you? Okay, some of you still won't get in an elevator. Okay, it's a bad illustration. Lots of things in the kingdom, we're uncomfortable with it, and we think that it must not be God because we're uncomfortable with it. No, we're unfamiliar with it. It's the unknown. And so we get a little uncomfortable. So in the future, when something's going on and you're uncomfortable, don't dismiss it automatically just because you're uncomfortable. The first time I was ever in a service where people lifted up their hands, I was uncomfortable. That didn't mean it wasn't God. I can't help it. Now I'm lifting my hands. Because I begin to verify, wait a minute, that's in the Bible. Wait a minute, that blesses God. Wait a minute, I wanted to do it, and the only reason I was uncomfortable is because I'd never been around anybody doing it. Okay, I said a lot without saying it right there. Peter then is trying to settle these people in on what just happened. Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for or because of the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now everybody say, gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes. So that's in the Bible, gift of the Holy Ghost. We've got the promise of the Father. What's that? Jesus said it would come upon you in Jerusalem and you'd be endued with power. John said, baptized with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts chapter 1, when they were filled with the Spirit, that was the fulfillment of what John was talking about, being baptized. So we're using these terms interchangeably, biblically. Now we got, all of a sudden, we got this gift of the Holy Ghost. A gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39 says, "For the promise," everybody say, "the promise."
The promise.
"The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call."
Amen.
Peter is an authority to the church. And Peter said, this gift of the Holy Spirit, which is being filled, which is the promise of the Father. Peter said, it's for you, it's for your children, it's for as many as are afar off, hello, and for as many as call upon the name of the Lord. How'd you get saved? How'd I get saved? I called upon the name of the Lord. Peter, an authority to the church, said that the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, wasn't just for one generation, but it was for those that are afar off, and even as many as call upon the name of the Lord. I called upon the name of the Lord, so maybe the gift of the Holy Ghost is for me too.
Amen.
The promise of the Father's for me too, according to the Bible. Amen. Do you know, if you hadn't have been brainwashed and taught the traditions of men and all these other authorities, that would be so easy. That is not difficult. It's difficult for some people because they've been hammered their whole life that this is not for today. And for those people, my heart goes out to them, because I'm telling you, there are millions of them that aren't fighting this. They're just uncertain. They're just uncomfortable. They're just not sure. They haven't been taught. And remember, I've not been called to goats. I've not been called to Pharisees and Sadducees and religious people. I've been called to the sheep. I've been called to the hungry. I've been called to the lambs. I am reaching more people by cassette tape than I will be able in person to reach the rest of my life. Amen. That are listening to me. These churches who fight the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Ghost, Jesus the baptizer with the Holy Ghost, they don't know what they're bucking up against. Their closets are full of people filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there's just going to be a point where people can't handle it no more. If you pound them every Sunday and they keep reading their Bible like you tell them, we're going to have a problem. I tell you, a lot of churches are struggling right now. Because they want all the fringe benefits of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, but they don't want nothing to do with that baptism with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's right. They want the life, but not the baptism. They want the freedom, but not the baptism. They want the power, but not the baptism. Yeah. And we just can't do that. We can't separate them. Go to Hebrews. Well, did I read? Go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. This is just a few years after Pentecost. And Peter has had a vision. And he has this sheet coming down. And it's got unclean meats in it. And the Lord says, take, eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. I've never ate a pig in my life. I'm not going to eat anything unclean. And then God rebuked him and said, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. And he got confused. And he had this vision three times. That should encourage you. Some of you don't get it the first time either. Amen? And that's okay. But all of a sudden, in the vision, he comes out of the thing, and there are men that an angel had spoke to and said, go down to Joppa and find one Peter and have him come to your house to tell you how to get saved. And so he hit Peter. Wait a minute. These are Gentiles. And they're asking, they said an angel told them to come and ask me how to get saved. Maybe, just maybe, God cares about somebody besides our group. Amen. Maybe God wants to reach white people. Amen. Maybe God wants to reach black people. Amen. There's a novel idea. Maybe God hadn't erected all these divisions. And I feel better. This is 8 to 10 years after the day of Pentecost, and they hadn't got it straight yet. They thought it was for the Jews only still. Amen. And now God is jerking the slack out of them and saying, I want you to go into a Gentile's house and share the gospel. And Cornelius, I don't fully understand this. I'm perplexed by it, but I love it. He's lost, but he's given alms. And his alms went up a memorial to God and touched the heart of God. His alms wasn't going to get him saved. But it sure stirred God's heart up on how to get somebody to tell him how to get saved. That's pretty incredible. We need to be careful even about what we say about lost people and God's heart toward them. And so Peter goes down there. Acts chapter 11. Look at verse 15. Acts 11 verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now what happened was, he went down there into that black man's house. Okay, that didn't fly. He went down there into that white man's house. Okay, let's cut to the chase. He went into that Baptist house. He went into that Pentecostal holiness house that we were told to stay away from. Because they're my holy rollers. I hate to admit it, but I'm a holy roller. Every morning when that alarm goes off, I push it and turn over. Just a holy roller. Holy roll. I roll over. I turn the alarm off. All right, it was bad. Yeah, so see, he went where you're forbidden to go. Did you get it? He went where other people ain't gonna go because of racism and bigotry, and it's nothing new. Been around forever. It's not exclusive to white people either. The Jews were bigots and the Samaritans were racist and bigots. This isn't just selective problem with white people with blue eyes. Amen? Racism's in the heart of all people who don't know God. And so they ain't going down there. And so what happened was word got back to headquarters that Peter went into a Gentile's house and they called him on the carpet for it. And he's retelling the story. He said, I couldn't help it. I had a vision. Holy Ghost sent me down there. And I love it too. He said, and these other six guys went with me too. How come you ain't jumping on them? That's what I do to y'all all the time. I get in trouble with religious people. I say, what my fault is the Holy Ghost moved upon me and the people. They were with me too. So he's recalling this. He says, man, I just began to speak and the Holy Ghost fell on them. The Holy Ghost fell where? On them. Amen. He says, the Holy Ghost fell on him. He said, then remembered I, the word of the Lord. Is the Lord an authority to the church or not? It would do us good to remember the word of the Lord instead of what mama said. And I ain't putting your mamas down. I'm trying to make a point. He said, I remembered the word of the Lord. He says, I remembered the Lord. How that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Peter, an authority to the church, said, I told them about Jesus and the cross and all that. And he said the Holy Ghost fell on them just like it fell on us. And he called that being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's pretty powerful. Yes, he says that's being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 says, for as much then as God gave them the gift. There it is again, gift. Exchanged with baptism with the Holy Ghost as he did unto us who believed. Notice you got to believe to get it. Unbelievers can't get this gift. They got to get the gift of salvation. They get the gift of salvation. Once you get that gift and the gift of righteousness, because the Lamb took away your sin by His blood, the sin of the whole world. Now the Lamb, your new Lord, can baptize you now with the Holy Spirit. He says, those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the black people granted repentance unto life. To the white people, to the Baptist, to the Methodist, to the Mormons. You know, I don't know why you get exclusively mad at me. I include all of us in these problems, don't I? I'm not picking on anybody. I'm saying we got to get this stuff fixed in our hearts. He said, man, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And I remembered what an authority in my life said. Now, I know what Mama said, and I know what Joe said, and I know what they said back at headquarters. They said we're not supposed to be going into these Gentiles' houses, and I respect that authority, but, you know, I remembered a higher authority. I remembered what the Lord said. What was I? Couldn't stop God? I didn't think He's going to do anything either. But He says, it fell on them just like it fell on us. Now, as soon as you say this, people get hung up with baptism with the Spirit. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Baptism with the Spirit. And so I'm going to spend the rest of my time showing you different baptisms in the Bible. Baptism with the Spirit. Now I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 because I'm not afraid to look at any passage in the Bible because I have no unbelief to defend. See, when you have unbelief to defend, you fear the Bible because faith will come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if somebody even tries to use a scripture to produce unbelief in my life, I'm not intimidated by that. I want to know that scripture. And I want to look at that scripture. And I say this with as much kindness and no malice in my heart as possible. I was watching TV, a TV preacher one time, and his jugular vein was poking out and he was going nuts about this baptism with the Spirit. And he was screaming. He was off the charts. And he said, and I quote, let me just say one thing right now about this baptism with the Holy Ghost. The Bible is clear that there is only one baptism, one Father, one Lord, one God, who's over all, in all, and above ye all. So I don't want to hear nothing about this baptism with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says there's only one baptism. Well, we'll look at that passage out of Ephesians chapter 4. But that man should have been rebuked by his denomination, because that man was lying on purpose. That man had intent to deceive. There's a difference between a preacher messing up, we all do. There's a difference in a preacher misspeaking, we all do. There's a difference in stumbling in our terminology. And I mean, I've caught myself in dyslexic moments where I said the opposite of what I meant. That's not what I'm talking about. This man who said there's only one baptism is a liar and should have been rebuked by his denomination, because that man believes in two and practices two. So he purposely lied. Anybody who says there's only one baptism doesn't know the Bible and is purposely lying, because they practice two, and they know they practice two. They know when you get saved, and I'm going to show you right out of the Bible, that the Holy Spirit takes you, a new convert, and baptizes you into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then they baptize you in water, which is a second, that's two baptisms. So it would be purposefully lying to stand up and say there's only one baptism. You know the Bible doesn't contradict itself. You're a hypocrite doing two then. Everybody okay? Now I'm going to show you this in the Bible, and we're going to look at that scripture, and we'll know exactly what God is talking about. In, where did I say go? Hebrews chapter 6. These are the elementary principles of Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of the Baptist church. Is that what it says? The doctrine of the Pentecostal holiness. The doctrine of Victory Life. The doctrine of Brother Duane. Now, guess what? Doesn't say any of that, does it? It says these are the principal or elementary doctrines of who?
Christ.
Is Christ an authority over the church or not?
Yes.
He's an authority here.
Yes.
This is doctrine. And it's the doctrine of Christ. Not me, not you, not them, not those. It's the doctrine of Christ. And you can read, he says, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Number one. Number two, faith toward God. Verse two. Number three, of the doctrine of baptisms, plural.
Amen.
Everybody say doctrine.
Doctrine.
Of baptisms,
baptisms.
Plural. And of laying on of hands. Did you know laying on of hands is not a charismatic act? It's a Bible act.
Amen.
You know, that's the doctrine of Christ. Lay hands on people. We should lay hands on the presbytery. We should lay hands on elders. We should lay hands on the sick. We should lay hands, I'm going to show you later, lay hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit. It's a doctrine of Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Baptisms, plural. Resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. In some churches, I don't even think God permits for them to go on unto perfection, because they refuse to even take care of the elementary simple stuff. They want to fuss and fight over the simple stuff. And they believe the doctrines of men more than of God. I'm not putting anybody down, but I learned a long time ago, I have actually witnessed to people. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is how bad off we can get if we don't stick to the Bible. Truly stick to it and want truth. We're not trying to take this Bible and prove what we believe. We go to this Bible with an open heart and let it formulate what we believe. I've witnessed to people before and showed them scripture after scripture, and they'll take me to the footnotes in their Bible. They'll point to the footnotes in the Bible and say, but look at what he said. Well, who is he? By what authority? Just because it's in print in your Bible doesn't mean God was the authority behind that.
Right,
they believe the footnotes more than the Bible.
Yeah.
Everybody okay?
Yeah.
I'm not being critical. I'm trying to shake us up and wake us up. Dear ones, it doesn't matter what your footnotes in here say. That's a man.
Right.
We need to know what it says.
That's right.
The writer of the book of Hebrews said that there's the doctrine of baptisms, plural. Now, God's not going to contradict himself. He wouldn't say that the elementary principles of the faith is a doctrine of baptisms, plural, if there's only one baptism, singular.
Amen.
The whole Word of God teaches multiple baptisms. There was the baptism of Moses that Israel went through. There was the baptism of John, where he baptized people, getting them ready for the kingdom. There's the baptism of the Spirit into and taking you, a new convert, into the body of Christ. There's water baptism that a local authority does to new believers, new converts. There's the baptism with the Holy Ghost that's a different baptism. I'll show you that right out of the Bible. There's the baptism of fire that's coming. Do you know this world is going to be baptized in fire and it won't just be sprinkled? It's going to be dipped and submerged in fire. Everything's going to be purged by a baptism of fire. There's multiple baptisms in here. Now let me show you the first baptism. And if you can't see this, we really need to lay hands on you. Wake you up. 1 Corinthians. Man, I just love the Bible. I'm sorry. I get passionate. I love the Word of God. This stuff is so simple to me. You know, I just don't have any leaven of the Pharisees in me. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he told you what that leaven was: religion, hypocrisy. Hypocritical stand up and say there's one baptism when you have read the Bible and you know there's the doctrine of baptisms, plural. Amen. It's one thing if the guy couldn't read. He had a degree in theology. He's a liar. Yeah. And his group ought to have the courage to rebuke him. That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 12. And we're going to walk through these baptisms quickly and in simplicity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, everybody say one Spirit,
one Spirit,
are we all baptized into one body. Say one body.
One body.
Whether we be Jews, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body's not one, but many members. Yes. Now, we believe, and the Bible affirms, a Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three bear record in the earth. Oh, and are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, there are things said about the Father that are not said about the Holy Spirit. And there's things that the Holy Spirit does that the Father doesn't do. And things the Father does, the Holy Spirit doesn't do. And there's things Jesus did that neither one of them did. The Father is not flesh and been made flesh. The Father is Spirit. But the Word was made flesh. God the Father didn't die on the cross. God the Son died on the cross. The Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit, raised the second member of the Godhead from the grave. Jesus, when he prayed, "I commit my spirit into your hands, O Father," wasn't praying to himself. And Jesus didn't raise himself. The Father raised him in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's Father, and there's something said about the Father, not said about the Son and the Holy Spirit. They're one, but they're different. They have different jobs. Different things that they do in our lives and in the earth.
Right.
Now that said, that the Spirit, one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, baptizes who? New converts. Sinners who repent become candidates for the Holy Spirit to baptize them into what? The body of who?
Right.
Holy Spirit is the baptizer. What's the element? New converts who repent. What do they get baptized into? The body of who?
Christ.
Now that's not hard.
No, it's not.
That happens when you get saved. When you get born again and you confess Jesus as Lord, the Holy Spirit takes you, and you and the Holy Spirit are not the same.
That's
right. And the body of Jesus and the Holy Spirit not the same. The Holy Spirit's the baptizer. You're the element. What's He baptize you into? The body. Now let me show you the second baptism that every Christian denomination believes in. Now, there's a different baptizer that's not the Holy Spirit. It's the local authority of a local church, a pastor, an elder, someone in authority. They're not the Holy Spirit. That's a different baptizer. What's the element? Water. Who gets baptized? You. What do you get baptized into this time and with? water. Okay, now that wasn't hard. It was my fault, evidently. The first baptism that happens the minute you call upon Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes you and baptizes you into what? The second baptism is you now profess your faith publicly. And because you're saved and you're in the body of Jesus, through spirit baptism into the body, a spiritual authority, your pastor, takes you by the nape of the neck and puts you where? Under. Testifying of death, burial, resurrection in a new life. Some of the biggest temptations of my life is holding people down. Just seeing the bubbles come up. Die, baby, die. One of the groups I was a part of, the only reason we were here was to make it to heaven. If I really believe that, I just keep you down. That one entered on in. They sure didn't sin between now and I started this act. Unless there was a little hatred in their heart toward me holding them under. They might not have made it either, you know it? So I got one baptism. The Holy Spirit is the baptizer. The element is you, new convert. What do you get baptized into? Jesus. The second baptism, the Holy Spirit's not the baptizer. I'm the baptizer. The water is the element. And you are the subject, the object that's getting baptized. The third baptism is Jesus. Can I get a witness? There's a difference between Jesus and the Holy Spirit, even though they're eternally one and God. The third baptism is Jesus baptizing you with what? The Holy Spirit. I guess that's just too simple for y'all. Trust me, over the years, there's some people's brains right now spinning. Because they can't seem to separate the difference between water and spirit and Jesus and body. And when the Bible is clear of these different baptisms, and you have to have help to miss it. Yes. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of help. Go to Ephesians and let's clear up one baptism. Well, how could that be true? And what is Ephesians talking about where it says there's one baptism? Well, let's look at it. That'll help. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. That's talking about our salvation. He's talking about we're all called to be children of God, sons and daughters of God. It's not talking about your occupation in the earth. We call that a vocation. This vocation is your call. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Listen, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. Amen? Yes. One Spirit. Amen? Amen? Even as you're all called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, underline it, one baptism singular, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Aren't you glad that Paul was from Oklahoma? In you all. Man, y'all are slow tonight. You want me to make fun of Texans? I do that tomorrow night. I'm wise. I talk about them when I'm down here. Never mind. Watch this. This isn't hard. The context is, listen, there's only one baptism that makes us all in one body. That's right. With one faith. That's right. Under one God who's Lord of all, above all, and in you all. And that's spirit baptism into the body of Christ. Water baptism doesn't save you. Right. Baptized with the Holy Spirit doesn't save you. Doesn't make us one. Doesn't make us all saved. There's one baptism that causes us all to be into now one faith under one Lord, who's our God, the same God. That is so simple. Unless you believe the Bible contradicts itself. How anybody could read that in Ephesians and go, there's only one baptism, then read Hebrews chapter 6 and not be able to reconcile that's beyond me. That's just not being honest. Amen or oh me. Amen. That is just not being honest. If the doctrine of Christ is a plurality of baptisms, This can't mean there's only one baptism that a believer participates in, because everybody who water baptizes believe you were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. So there's two right there. There's more than two. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is a separate, distinct work of grace after you've been baptized in the body of Christ. You don't even have to wait for water baptism to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's not an order in that sense. You have to be baptized by the Spirit into the body before getting water baptized. But water baptism doesn't save you. Ask the thief on the cross that called upon the name of the Lord. That's why we don't need to fuss and fight about even the method, though it's pretty clear what the method ought to be. But let's just go ahead and cause another fight. I get so disturbed at people, though, that want to argue about, well, what about if you're in the desert and we only got a pint of water left? Well, drink it and I'll thank God you won't be here long with that kind of thinking. I don't believe there'd be anything wrong if somebody got saved in a desert. We had one pint of water left and that's it, for us to sprinkle him in the name of the Lord and baptize him with the water we had, as if God's going to sit up in heaven and go, well, this old boy, he's going straight to hell because y'all was at the bad place at the wrong time. Shouldn't have been in that desert anyway. What we do is we make doctrines out of this stuff and dogmas. Instead of, the answer to the question is, we ain't in the desert. We got plenty of water, darling. You're going under. Because it means to dip. It means to submerge. It means to be totally surrounded is what the word means. It's just that simple. Now, if you don't believe you can be saved, baptized into the body of Christ, and then water baptized, and still receive baptism with the Spirit, then you haven't read the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, quickly. The book of Acts chapter 8. Philip went down to Samaria. He preached Christ unto them. The Bible says they all gave heed to the things that Philip said and done. See, that's another issue right there. We don't need you to just say, and we don't need to just do. We need to say and do. Yeah. Amen? Philip preached Christ unto them. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken up with palsies, and they were lame, and they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, or Simeon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, you don't baptize people that haven't believed what you just taught. They believed what he preached and what he did and got baptized. So were these people saved? I think so. Philip is an authority in the church. He wouldn't have baptized lost people. They received the word of Christ. They believed, so he baptized them. So they were saved. Amen? That's what Peter said. Repent and be baptized for, or because of the remission now of your sins. The early church didn't wait around like we wait around, and I don't know what's right or wrong there. I don't want to get into that right now. But I mean, when people got saved, they baptized them right away, because that was their public testimony. That was their public profession of their faith, was water baptism. That's why water baptism meant so much to them. And I think it is important, and I think it is very important. I just don't want to be dogmatic about it. But it is your public affirmation of, I am a new man. I am dying to the world, and I'm not afraid to be associated with Jesus Christ, His Word. He told me to do this. It's my first act of obedience to my new Lord. Yeah. And so Philip baptized these people. Now, look at verse 14. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now, is Peter and John an authority or not? They're an authority. They sent Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Now you have to have help to miss that. You have to be religiously brainwashed to miss that. And I've had preachers argue with me over that passage right there and can't see it. That these people believed on the name of Jesus and was baptized. And when the apostles heard that they received the word, the gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness, they said, bless Peter and John's heart. They didn't know when you get born again and baptized in water, you have all there is. Bless their darling hearts. They went down and just condemned those people so bad because it says that they had not yet received the Holy Ghost, and he qualified it. He didn't say they didn't have something in them, a well springing up into every life. He said it hadn't fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. So it's possible to be born again, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and still not have the gift of the Holy Spirit and a work of grace in your life.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 19, Paul found 12 men, and he said, well, look at Acts 19. I got just enough time, I think. How am I doing, guys? Am I all right? Just to cover one more? Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Acts 19. Paul is preaching. He's traveling. He ran across these men. And look at what he said in Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Welcome to the church of the first whatever. They hadn't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now listen, Paul, bless his heart, he didn't know that when you get born again and you believe, you get all there is. Because he said, hey, since you believed. Look at the question. Why would a man that's an authority in the church ask people, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed, if there wasn't more for you after you believe?
Amen.
That's not hard. I'm sorry, I'm just a common, simple man. I thank God I'm not a theologian. I thank God I haven't been to seminary and taught how to doubt God. I really believe a blind theologian in a dark room could find a black cat. And can't see what's right in front of him. Sorry. Verse 3 says, and he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized. Oh, watch the terminology. John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. Watch this. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon him, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
Notice they got baptized, then he laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came where? On them. Didn't say anything about in them.
Right.
They already had a well in them springing up into everlasting life. They had oil. They were born again. They were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Jesus. They were baptized by Paul with water. And then Paul laid hands on them, and Jesus, their new Lord, baptized them with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
And my heart just goes out to people.
Yeah.
But you know what? Again, thousands and thousands are getting saved every day through tapes and television. Thousands and thousands are getting filled with the Holy Spirit every single day.
Amen.
There's too many people out there hungry for this stuff for you to waste your time arguing with religion.
Right.
Let people alone and just be filled with the Spirit. And when somebody asks, you be equipped and you be loving and you be kind. And I'm going to show you how to get people filled with the Holy Spirit. Show you how to minister to people, all those kind of things. I think the real issue, let's cut to the chase in closing, is tongues. Everybody's afraid of them other tongues. And we'll deal with that for the five or six that come back next week. But you need to come and you need to look at this with me. There's so much more for us to learn who believe in this that God's unveiling. I've been sharing some truth with you that goes beyond just the casual answers to some of these questions. So keep your heart open. Keep receiving. If you haven't been filled with the Spirit, keep listening. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. We'll pray for you after every service, but it doesn't hurt for you to sit and hear the good word of God either. And faith will keep coming. Amen. By hearing and hearing by the word. And I promise this time too, I'm going to spend about 6 hours on just the baptism. Then I'm going to spend 6 hours on tongues and the gifts and fruit and just settle some things for you. There's some answers in God's word on these issues if we'll seek them. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I hope you received and were blessed. I want you to stand. One of the biggest shocks I ever had was I was in a Baptist church. A couple hundred people there. It was just a weak moment for me. I don't know where I got my courage, but I ministered on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just said, while they were all sitting there with their jaws open and on the ground, I said, you know what, if you just want to receive, stand up right where you are, and I'll just pray for you, and God will fill you with the Holy Spirit right where you are. Over half that church stood up. Amen. Over half that church stood up. A Baptist church stood up. See, don't let preachers and Pharisees make you believe people aren't seeking and searching and hungry for the things of the Spirit. I had to find out the hard way. It's not the body. It's not the body of Christ that's screaming and moaning and groaning and hollering and saying the things I was taught. It's those who defend their unbelief. And there's less of them and less of them. So just keep sharing in love the things of God. Father, I thank you for filling this place with the Holy Spirit.